So in photography, now most everything is digital, but before, we used to use film. And you remember the little rolls of film you put in your camera and you take the pictures. You have to go have it developed and pay them some money, and then you get your prints. Well, things have changed for sure, but let's think back now to how that film works. You take a picture on the light-sensitive film, the image is recorded, it's developed, and when you get it, you have what we call a negative. It's a negative image where all the dark spots are bright and all the bright spots are dark. It's a negative image that looks funny and is not all that useful. But when we go to print those pictures, what we do is we take the negative and you shine light through it and you focus it onto a piece of light-sensitive photo paper. And as that light passes through the negative image, it creates on the photo paper a positive image. So the positive image then we get to see after that paper's been developed, and it is because of the light shining through the negative that we get the positive. That's the point this morning. And what we're going to be talking about today is how the Holy Spirit does the same thing for us. When the Holy Spirit shines its light through a negative experience, a negative circumstance, it can turn that negative circumstance into something positive and have positive results. That's what happens in our scripture reading this morning. So far in the book of Acts, we've seen Jesus ascending to heaven. The Holy Spirit descends on the believers at Pentecost. And then Peter stands up and preaches an incredible sermon. Many people believe in Jesus, and the ministry continues. Peter and John, going about their normal worshiping activities in the temple, come upon this lame man, and we found out in Acts chapter 3 last week, they heal this man in the name of Jesus. This man couldn't walk one day, then he's healed. He's able to walk. This incredible miracle has happened. It stirs up the people. A lot of them believe because of the miracle and all these things are happening, but not everybody's happy. There is opposition that comes up because of all of this attention. And that's what we'll be reading about today in Acts chapter 4. Before we start in Acts 4 verse 1, let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for leaving us with these incredible stories of the ways the Holy Spirit worked among those early disciples. We pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts this morning to hear from you, that even now your Holy Spirit would be teaching us. Lord, speak to us today. We are yours. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. This is following the healing that Peter and John had done. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, and much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated, ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it's obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we've seen and heard." After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all of them praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Spirit, up to this point, has been very busy. Now the Holy Spirit faces some pushback, some opposition. What happens? Well, the opposition Peter and John are facing is significant. It's strong. The most powerful religious leaders of the day are set against them. They're scared. They're fearful. The religious leaders are watching these followers of Jesus. They thought when Jesus disappeared that everything was done, and then he rose from the dead, and these believers, I mean, everything just kept growing, and they become fearful. 5,000 people had believed in Jesus at this point. They were scared, especially when they see the kind of power displayed in this miracle that Peter and John had performed. The scriptures say that these religious leaders were greatly annoyed. We've got a lot of different ways we can say that today, right? They were greatly annoyed with this whole situation. And so Peter and John are arrested. It's late in the day. They spend the night in jail, and they go to trial the next morning before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders. And they knew, Peter and John knew, that even if they had not actually broken the law, they were still in danger. Justice wasn't the issue. The issue was they had angered the powerful people. And they knew that they might spend the rest of their days in jail or even something worse. The situation is pretty dire, but is the Holy Spirit phased? Does the Holy Spirit say, "Well, we better just back down. We've caused enough trouble. Let's stop." No. Not at all. That's not what happens. Before Peter and John even get into jail, the Holy Spirit has brought about these 5,000 people believing in Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that brought them to belief in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is moving all over the place. The Holy Spirit fills Peter as he speaks to the Sanhedrin. The Holy Spirit fills him just as Jesus had predicted. If you caught that in the passage Steve read from Matthew, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. And right here, the Holy Spirit did just that for Peter. Peter and John already know that the authorities are not very excited about what's going on. Peter and John know that what they're doing in the name of Jesus is not looked upon favorably by the religious authorities, but they do it anyways. In fact, Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit that he's filled with, when they ask him why they're doing these things in Jesus' name, he takes the opportunity not to defend himself, but rather to preach to the very Sanhedrin, to preach to those religious authorities and tell them the good news of Jesus. So Peter and John are essentially openly defying the religious authorities, yet the religious authorities have no power against them. They can't find any way to even keep them in jail because the people are praising God for this miracle that's happened. And they're afraid of causing some sort of a revolt among the people. They've got all these concerns in their heads, and they don't have a way to even keep Peter and John in jail. So they are forced to let them go with a slap on the wrist. And we see that the power of the Holy Spirit is far beyond the most powerful religious authorities of the day. In fact, those powerful religious authorities are like chess pieces in the hands of the Holy Spirit, going wherever the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. Jesus actually said that when he talked to Nicodemus that night. The Holy Spirit is like the wind blowing about where it wishes. And as we know about the wind around here, before Friday, I was going to talk about a tumbleweed that's blown about by the wind and can't, you know, make its own choices about where it goes. It's subject to the power of the wind. But after Friday, a lot of things we find are subject to the power of the wind, right? Trees and branches and little purple kiddie pools and all sorts of things blow all over the place. The wind decides where they will go, just like the Holy Spirit decides where these religious authorities will go. So the opposition to the spread of the gospel, the opposition arises, but it proves no match for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is powerful. It's almost as if even the most negative of circumstances are playing right into the hand of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses this opposition to bring about positive results, shining the light through the negative to turn positive results. So the religious leaders, as Paul preaches to them, he quotes the scripture that they had rejected Jesus, who was the rejected stone, had become the cornerstone, right? What they had rejected, God had vindicated in Jesus, turning Jesus' negative situation into a positive, raising him from the dead, seating him on the throne. That was what had happened, according to Peter and the scriptures that he's reciting in front of the Sanhedrin. That's what happened. Now, what we see, the Holy Spirit doing the very same thing with Peter and John, turning their negative situation into something positive. The Holy Spirit uses this opposition that is present in the religious authorities, uses it to bring about positive things in the lives of the disciples. Peter and John have a message. And the Holy Spirit uses this opposition to legitimize their message, to bring more attention to them, right? Because the religious authorities are against it and putting them in jail and everything, well, that draws even more attention, more people getting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit also uses this opposition to bring about more boldness in Peter and John. If you'll recall, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, denied Jesus. He couldn't even admit that he knew Jesus in front of a little servant girl by the fire. Yet here's Peter preaching to the most powerful people that have his life literally in their hands, and he's preaching the good news of Jesus. Even the religious authorities look at that and they say, man, there's some boldness there that we can't explain. These guys, Peter and John, they're not educated like us. They're not smart. They're just common, ordinary men. Yet they have a boldness that is inexplicable. The only thing we can figure, they say, the only thing we can figure is they've been with Jesus. That's all we can see. Well, you and I know it's the power of the Holy Spirit in them. It is Jesus living in them, in the Holy Spirit, that makes that boldness possible. Then the Holy Spirit uses that opposition against the disciples to draw them nearer to God, to draw them close. You see, the disciples realized very quickly they couldn't do this on their own. Peter was aware of his failure, right? And he knew that in order to do these great things for God, he was going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit. The disciples were forced to do that because of this opposition. Their track record of doing things on their own was pretty poor. They knew they needed some help. They knew they needed something more. So the Holy Spirit shows up. As they depend on the Holy Spirit does not disappoint. The Holy Spirit steps up with them, causing these wonderful things to happen. And at the end of the story, a little bit past what we finished reading in verse 22, starting in verse 23, Peter and John get out of jail, and they go straight to their friends, and they tell them what happened. And they do something I probably wouldn't have done. They ask for more. They stop right there and they pray and they say, Holy Spirit, give us more boldness. Give us more strength. Even in the face of the opposition, we want the gospel of Jesus Christ to be known further. They didn't just run away from it, but this opposition made them stronger in their relationship with God, made them depend even more on the Holy Spirit. So what about your own life? How might the Holy Spirit use opposition, use some negative circumstance in your life to bring about something positive? Maybe you and I are not directly opposed for doing what God tells us to do. You know, by obeying God, we're directly opposed like the disciples. Maybe we don't face something like that very often. But we do face opposition. We do face negative circumstances. Maybe it's something at home. A broken relationship. Maybe it's your work, your family, finances. We could go on. We usually don't need a whole lot of help to find the negative circumstances in our lives. They make their presence known pretty quickly. So, in my life, one of the places I've seen the Holy Spirit doing this kind of work, when Myra, my wife, and I got married, and it's a longer story than this, but I found out the week before our wedding that I had mono. That's the terrible disease that sucks away all of your energy if you haven't had it. There's nothing you can do except just wait for it to run its course. And I found out a week before the wedding, so by the time the wedding rolled around, it was in full force, and I had very little energy. We had to actually rearrange the service order so that Myra and I could sit down. And I didn't, so I wouldn't fall down during the service. I had that little energy, and of course, it had an effect on our honeymoon as well. But, we get married, and our oldest daughter Surema at the time is 7 years old. So Myra and myself and our 7-year-old daughter live with my parents. For a lot of reasons, a lot of different circumstances, I won't get into everything, but we live with my parents. That was not my plan. Just like mono at the wedding, not my plan. This was not my plan. We didn't even have enough money to live in our own apartment. And for 6 months, we lived with my parents. During those 6 months, I'd like to tell you that I really saw the Holy Spirit at work. But it actually wasn't until some time later I realized the Holy Spirit was working. I didn't notice it that much at the time. I was actually kind of bitter about our situation, the fact that I couldn't even get enough money together to move into an apartment with my young family. But what I realized later, as I reflected on that time, I found the Holy Spirit was at work. And the Holy Spirit used that time with my parents to build a foundation with the relationship with Myra and Surema and my parents living together, a relationship that would have never been possible if we had moved right on to an apartment. Myra had just moved from Central America to the United States and needed a lot of help understanding the culture, understanding how to do food stuff and all of that, and my mom was able to help with that. There are all these benefits, and I'm sure somewhere in there during those difficult circumstances, God was working on our character also. I'm assuming that was happening. There's all of these positive things that I can see now that happened through that negative experience. So as you reflect on your own negative experiences, you look maybe at something in the past like that, and you see how the Holy Spirit brought positive results out of something negative. Maybe you're going through it currently, and it's a little harder to see, but what kind of positive result might the Holy Spirit be wanting to show you and be using this opposition, this trial, this difficult time for? I will be honest with you that sometimes the positive result is not very easy to see. In Peter and John's life, the Holy Spirit working in a situation does not necessarily mean that you get to avoid all the suffering. The suffering still happens. In fact, a lot of times that's part of God's work. God uses that very suffering. You don't get delivered from the suffering necessarily. And during that opposition, that time of difficulty, it's really hard to see the Holy Spirit at work. Sometimes we get to understand that even in the midst of it, we get to see it, but often we don't. Even when the opposition is finished and the experience is over, we look back on it, we still struggle to see what positive could have come from that. I share the story of our marriage and our 6 months of living with my parents as an example where I saw the positive that came from that. But there's a lot of experiences in my life where I look back and I have a really hard time finding the positive. Difficult circumstances where the work of the Holy Spirit remains a mystery. In those times, we can't just say, well, I guess the Holy Spirit forgot or just wasn't working in this moment or something. No, we trust that even though we can't see the positive, that we know the Holy Spirit is at work. We read it in the Scriptures. We see it in John and Peter's story. We see it in our own history. And so when those circumstances come up where we can't figure out the positive thing that the Holy Spirit might be doing, we just trust and we believe that even though we can't see it, the Holy Spirit's at work. The disciples were facing enormous problems in this scripture. But as the Holy Spirit worked, as the power of the Holy Spirit went on display, we find that their problems became smaller and smaller. Set up next to the amazing power of the Holy Spirit, their problems became tiny in comparison to that power. And that's my hope for each one of us today, that our own problems, when we set them next to the power of the Holy Spirit, whether we see it or we just have to believe that it's there, that power, our problems would become smaller and smaller tinier and tinier in comparison to that amazing power. As the light of the Holy Spirit shines through our negative circumstances, turning positive results. Amen.